Hyper hope. You know, we've probably all heard the come ons on commercials and on ads. 4 days and three nights at an oceanfront condo, absolutely free. Jewelry at ridiculously low prices. All you've got to do is just come by and look. Prescription drugs available at a fraction of the cost. Real estate deals at unbelievable prices. How many of us have been taken in by any of these enticements? How many of us have learned our lesson? You know that old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. You see, the older we get, the more suspicious we become of the advertisements and the come-ons that seem to defy logic and common sense. You see, the retailers are out there to make a sale, and most of us are just a bit skeptical. 8 centuries before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah describes a time in the future when peace will prevail throughout the world, a day when God's righteousness and justice will be the law of the land. It says they will beat their swords into plowshares, iron plows, and their spears into pruning hooks, tools, Isaiah says. Nation will not take up sword against nation. They will no longer learn to make war. You see, to a war-weary world that we live in today, these words sound like the come-on of a fast-talking salesperson or of a politician that is skilled in the use of all that rhetoric that we've been hearing. Yet for those of us who are Judeo-Christians, those of us who live in this community of our world, these words are not hype of a persuasive speaker, but they are the hope of the world. They are the hope that is here. They are the hope yet to come. Each year during this season, as the days are growing shorter, and in our part of the world, the nights are growing longer and darker and colder, God breaks through with the story of Jesus. Light for our darkness. Light has come. Joy for our sadness and hope for our despair. You see, every year we take these 4 weeks to reflect the meaning of the Christ event, the baby born in Bethlehem's manger, to be Savior of the world. Of course, every baby's birth, regardless of the circumstances, reminds us of the preciousness of life and the potential of tomorrow. We see that when we watch that, when we see that miracle of life around us. Someone has said that the birth of a baby is God's vote for the future of humanity. Every time I have the opportunity to hold a precious little child in my arms, and every time I baptize one, I think about the promise and the hope that God has for our world. While the coming of every baby is special and calls for much preparation on the part of family and friends, with showers and redecorating and baby furniture and all the rest that comes along with that, the coming of this baby causes special preparation. You see, there are stern warnings and voices of alarm throughout the Bible for those who are not focusing on the coming of this child. But the promise of this baby is not something that we should fear. It's not something to be feared or resisted. Oh no, His coming will be wonderful. His coming is excitement. His coming is the truth. You see, sometimes I have heard young parents say, we don't know what to do. We've never been parents before. This is new to me. Well, it's a learning experience. Advent reminds us that God is coming to be with us. You see, we've never had God in our lives before. Someone might be saying, we've never had God in our lives before. I remember a little poem that we used to use in Sunday school that was entitled, If Jesus came to your house today. You see, we would gulp and shrink back because if Jesus came to our house, He would see us being mean to our sisters and brothers or not doing our homework or something like that, like our chores. Not doing what we're told, talking back to mom and dad. Ooh. But the coming of Jesus is not supposed to be something that you and I fear, oh no, but it's something for us to rejoice about. Jesus promises to usher in a new day of peace, a day of peace and harmony that will be so wonderful. Not hype, oh no, not hype, but hope for this world that we live in. You see, today you and I as the church, we believe that the God who once entered Bethlehem's manger will come to this world again and establish God's kingdom forever. That is our hope. That is our belief. That is what we know, and that's what we want. When will this take place? You see, it happens every time a person accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. It happens every time. You see, it happens every time a person meets the Lord on the road of life. It happens every day. It happens every time a person ends their life. When that life comes to an end, and ultimately it will happen at the end of time for us all. When will that be? No one here knows. None of us know that. But you know, the Bible tells us that it is not ours to predict when that will happen. Oh, there's all kinds of folks out there who predict when the world's going to end. There are all kinds of folks who can take the Bible and show you exactly when the world's going to end. And they've missed it several times. And of course, they write another book and people buy it. And they sell things because it says, the Bible tells us it's not ours to predict. It's not ours to know. We have that faith. That's what we're supposed to be about, that faith. We are called not to predict the future, but to prepare for it. And in preparing, we ask God into our lives to love us, to care for us, to be there. We are called not to predict, but to prepare. We are called to live as if God is already here with us, and He is. That's right. Because, yes, indeed, He's here. God is already here with us, working with us each and every day. We are called not to sit and wait for something to happen in the future, but to live our lives of hope and joy right now, this very day, to be happy about it, to be happy about all the things that are going on, to look at folks and say, have a great day. Isn't it a beautiful day? So many times we are frustrated or we're upset or we look like we've just lost our best friend. I mean, we walk around not real happy, and people says, well, if that's a Christian, I sure don't want to act like that or be that. We need to act like we're happy about what God has done in our lives, what He is doing, and what He has promised us that He will do. As Christian believers, we know what time it is. To paraphrase the Apostle Paul, it is time to wake from our sleep. It is time to wake up. It is time to get with it. I know that literally and figuratively of everything else, we need to wake up and say, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do? Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation, He tells us. He told that to Zacchaeus some weeks back when we were talking about Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, what? Salvation has come to your house when? Today. It's happening. It's right now. It's not in the future, but we prepare for that great event always in our heart. What does it mean to live in hope during Advent? It means giving up our old ways of doing things. We have lived selfish and self-centered lives far too long. We've done it long enough. It's time to do something different. Now is the time to give up the weapons of mass destruction. And don't you listen to what these weapons of mass destruction are. I'm not asking you to throw your guns away. I want you to listen. I'm asking you to do something else. They are usually dishonesty, pride, quarreling, and jealousy. You see, those are the weapons of mass destruction that we use against each other, that we use to hurt people. We need to get rid of some of that pride that we have. We need to get rid of the dishonesty in our lives and in our spirit and in our family and our home, the quarreling and the jealousy, the fussing, the aggravation. You see, it their place we are called to put the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to do what? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that in Romans. Put Him on. You're supposed to put on Christ each and day every day like your armor. Here I am. But you know what it says? It says, dress yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you put on the Lord before you got here this morning? Think about it. Did you? Did you put on the Lord before you got here this morning? Or were you worried about trying to get somebody ready, or arguing because somebody wasn't up out of bed yet, or worrying because a dog took off running beside you or behind you or in front of you or something. You were taking care of a cat or a dog or something. Or you hadn't got it all together yet. Did you put on Christ this morning? Did you clothe yourself in righteousness? Did you put on the armor of God? Which means to live as He taught us to, in love, in joy, in generosity of spirit. Are you doing that? Are you about that? Have you done good things already this morning? Since when you live by hope rather than by hype, your values change and life takes on a different focus. You know, when we say, okay, I'm living by hope and by love today, the old weapons lose their power and they are replaced with a whole new lifestyle. You see, Jesus calls us to live as if the swords had already been beaten into plowshares and the spears had already been made into pruning hooks. That's what it means to live in hope this Advent season. It is here. Advent should be the most wonderful season of the year, for it lifts up the promise that God is coming to be with us. Not only did God come to Bethlehem's manger, not only will God come at the end of time and at the end of our time, God also comes to us in the everyday situations of life, each and every day. Just the ordinary humdrum part of life, God is there. When we are not looking for God, sometimes when we least expect it, God shows up. You see, the God who came, who is coming again, comes to us each and every day. This is not holiday hype, but the promise of hope. May each of us keep awake. May we keep alert and live in hopeful expectation this day and every day. Let us pray.